You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tony Dunn, ain't nothing to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to the C3 Panthers Podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. It's Wednesday night. It's time for the beat check, where we put our ear to the ground trying to find out what's going around town. I guess we check the beat. Cody Lashney, this week we got a great guest in Josh Klein from the Riot Report, and we've got some cool stuff to talk about. Before we get to our guest, though, we are so close to 100,000 YouTube views this month. I mean, we are 900 views away right now, I think is what it says. It kind of fluctuates because YouTube kind of projects everything, so it'll change. But we're right there, brother. We're right there. And we've been in the depths. We've been in the shallows. We've been in the trenches. Actually, yeah, we're getting it. But we got some cool stuff to talk about. Nice seeing you again.
Yeah, man. Listen, we're here with Josh. He's a longtime friend of the podcast. Happy to pick his brain once again. And Tony, you already know that we're going to do this with the best damn Panther fans and all of YouTube, man. D Ill Skills, my man, Panther Pickle, Sean Hume, the real AP, Tim Estes, Tim Tizzy, Tony Dunn. Let's check the beat on the C3 Beat Chat, brother.
Josh Klein, the Riot Report, welcome back. And I hope, I would say I hope this, but I don't think you are getting any sleep. I feel like every time I see you on Twitter, you're like, this sleep is for the birds.
I feel like if you're going to go on Twitter, you got to complain about something. So that's where it's at. Nobody goes on Twitter and is like, you know what? I had a really good cheese sandwich today. Everybody's
right.
Feeling
refreshed.
My flight was 14 minutes late and the biscottis were shitty and I hate everybody.
Your daughter is just over one now? Or are we in
twos?
She's
17 months old. She's actually sleeping pretty good, but yeah. So she's sleeping pretty good, but she just, you know, every now and then she's up at like 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah. I saw that tweet the other day. The other day you said something to the effect of like, hey, I never knew I'd be up this early or complain about. I was like, I feel like, man, there's people doing cocaine out there right now who are just like still awake.
Yeah, they were still awake.
And you're like,
I had already taken a nap by the time it was 8 a.m. and I had already taken a nap and was awake from a nap and it was 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, you're working on
a,
nap.
I got a lot of day left.
Nap too. Yeah. I've been there, man. I got three kids, but mine, thankfully mine are old or well, not thankfully. I miss those. We love children. You'll love it. And before you know it, you'll probably be having another one.
Keep the best. I'm very happy. I'm certainly not complaining, but yeah, it would be nice to sleep until like 9 a.m.
Oh yeah. I imagine that is when sleeping in is 9 a.m. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Like that's welcome folks, is people listening to this. Welcome to adulthood.
Sorry to bring you down, YouTube audience.
Yeah, yeah. Your life is going to suck. You can't wait. All this talk about wanting to get a job and wanting to do this, screw that. It's for the birds. All right. But you know what's also for the birds is the damn Panthers, man. Good Lord, they tease us. They rarely please us. But this week we are coming off a victory. An unexpected victory. Panthers, I think, were like, I don't know, like 8 point. I mean, they were dogs against the Buccaneers, home dogs, and just put the working on them, man. And then now a bunch of stories are coming out, Josh. So on the beat check, what we like to do is go through the latest headlines. And one of the ones that caught my eye that the Riot Report, I felt like was very early on the scene reporting and talking about, was the offer to trade for Brian Burns. Today it was announced that Robert Quinn was traded from the Chicago Bears to the Philadelphia Eagles. We've been speculating about who this mystery team was that was offering these two first round picks for Brian Burns that somehow the Carolina Panthers turned down. Cody and I are split on this. I don't know how the Panthers said no to two first round picks. It must have been futures and back in. I don't know. Tell us a little bit about the Brian Burns story, what you know about the offer or anything you got about that news.
Sure. So I think it had become, I mean, honestly, when you're a team like the Panthers, I mean, this happened, what, a month ago? I mean, once they went 1-3, once the season went off the rails, which is weird to think about that it was 2 or 3 weeks in, you knew that the,
week two.
You knew that teams were going to call. My favorite kind of reports are like teams are calling about this guy, and it's like, well, that doesn't mean anything. Like I can call the Tesla dealership, but they're not giving me a Tesla. Like it doesn't matter. I don't have the money for it. So I get it, and I understand why the reports are. One of the things I always like to think about, especially with these like national reporters, like Rap Sheet and Schefter and all those guys, is when they say like a source said this to me, it's like I try to think back. I mean, we all have sources that we're hearing from, but like what is that source? Like even if you don't know exactly, but like who does it behoove to have these things come out in the media? Does it help the Panthers to have it come out that they're listening to offers for Christian McCaffrey and that they wouldn't trade him for anything less than a first round pick? Maybe. Does it help the Eagles that teams are calling about Christian McCaffrey, or like that? Does it help the Bills that Derek Brown is somebody that teams around the league are interested in? Like it's all these things it's such a huge chess game, and so many things are leaked and happening on purpose that I always try to dive a little bit deeper. And ultimately with this Brian Burns thing, the main report that came out about the Brian Burns is like a lock to be traded was an Eagles reporter who said that. So does that Eagles reporter have sources inside the Panthers locker room? Does that Eagles reporter have sources inside the Panthers front office? Probably not. But you know who they probably have sources is with the Eagles. So that to me makes sense. And when I kind of texted around just to see, hey, what's going on? Like this, you know, when people start throwing out, like it's a lock, and I have like people tech, like friends of mine texting me and saying, hey, Brian Burns is getting traded. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Like not like, just like my college buddies are like, I heard Burns is gone. And so I texted people that I know that are in the know. And they said, Regulus, like, I don't even remember what the exact quote was, but they said something like completely inaccurate or something like that. And And then ultimately we come to find out that, yeah, I mean, people are offering a lot of stuff around the league. Now, just to go back to like what I just said, like, does it help? Who does it help to have leaked that the Panthers turned down 2 first-round picks
right.
for Brian Burns?
That's what I was going to ask. Is did the Panthers leak that part?
I don't know, I would think.
Is like who does, I mean, it probably helps you if you're trying to negotiate with Brian Burns, or, and when I say negotiate, try to keep him here. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's like,
I mean, it helps make him the highest paid defensive end in the league when he comes up for a contract extension. That's what it definitely helps with.
Wow. Okay.
Because if I'm Brian Burns' agent, I'm saying, hey, bro, you wouldn't trade my guy for 2 first-round picks? Cool. Well, now you need to pay him $22 million a year.
Before I turn the mic over to Cody, do you think they made a mistake?
I mean, I think it all depends, right? We don't know what the 2 first-round picks are. We know that Brian Burns is a top 10 player at a premium position. So maybe a top 5 player. I don't know. I haven't really done the math in my head, but like, whatever. He's a very, very good edge rusher,
defensive end, yeah.
Which is one of the top 5 premium positions that you need, to be successful. And he's 24 years old. So ultimately, do you take 2 first-round picks where you might be able to hit on another Brian Burns? Maybe. We know what the hit rate is in the first round. Hit rate is like less than 50%. It's like 48% that you have a bona fide, that you have a starter level, not even a stud, 48% that you have a starter in the first round. So it like, are you going to hit on one of those two guys? Is it going to be Brian Burns? He's going to be cheaper, but I don't know. This is a team that for the last 3 years, they thought that they were on the verge of contending and that was how they operated. But a guy like Brian Burns could be hitting his peak in 3 years when theoretically your 2023 rookie quarterback is ready to make that jump to the next level when Icky is still on his, when you have a left tackle and a quarterback still on a rookie deal, it's not the worst thing in the world to be paying a bunch of money to an edge rusher. But we don't know. It's hard to say exactly without knowing what those first round picks were, if they were actually first round picks, and what that looks like, you know?
Yeah. So Josh, today, Jeremy Fowler released a really damning report basically about the last 2 years inside the Carolina Panthers organization and their continuous failed attempts to lock up the quarterback position. And now there's talks of, you know, strife between different parts of the coaching staff and Matt Rhule and Phil Snow. And then even David Tepper comes into this being angry at picking up the 5th-year contract on Darnold, which he was supposedly persuaded to do. As someone who closely follows this team, did you ever get any inklings of dissent inside the building? Like, what did you ever hear any information that, you know, man, there's really a lot of strife in the organization as far as who should actually be the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, short answer, yes. Long answer, okay. It's complicated, right? I mean, I think that, yes, I think there was a lot of dissent. I think there were a lot of conflicting opinions. But ultimately, I think that somebody lost their job because they made the wrong decisions at quarterback. That's, I mean, it happened within the past 3 weeks. Like, I mean, Matt Rhule got fired because of the Sam Darnold trade, because of the Teddy Bridgewater signing, because of the Baker Mayfield trade, because of the decisions that were made. And I know a lot of people are like sad about Matt Stafford. I'm not sure Matt Stafford would have been the answer in Carolina. Certainly if they'd have gone up and traded up and drafted Justin Herbert, I think that Matt Rhule is probably still the head coach today. And I think we're looking at a completely different Panthers team. But ultimately, that's not what happened. And I think there was some collaboration involved between Marty Herney and Matt Rhule. Not even thick. I know there was. But ultimately, it's like when people go out the door, they tend to get blamed because they're not here anymore to to hear about it, if that makes sense. So like Marty Herney gets fired, a lot of stuff that happened while he was here kind of goes on Marty Herney's plate. Matt Rhule gets fired, a lot of stuff that happened while Matt Rhule was here gets put on Matt Rhule's plate. It's the way it goes. It's the way it works in any profession. You know, you're a bartender and you get fired. Somebody's going to be like, yeah, man, that dude was pouring heavy. That's why we're short on Jack Daniels. Not because of me. I've been pouring them light all night. So like that's just kind of the way it goes. But yes, I think there was a lot of strife, maybe not the right word, but there was some dissent inside the building. There were people that were, you know, that had differing opinions. Obviously, it's a football team, but Matt Rhule was a big believer in making sure that everyone was rowing the boat in one direction. That was how he operated in high school. That was how he operated when he was running Baylor, when he was running Temple.
Right.
And when he brought it to the pros, because that was what he knew worked, you know. That was, I mean, in his mind, that was the way it worked. And ultimately, it didn't work at the professional level, but in reality, the NFL is such a quarterback-driven league. We know this, that if Justin Herbert is a Carolina Panther, I think we're looking at a whole different situation. They're certainly not in the position they are right now. But ultimately, that's not what happened. Like, revisionist history and hypotheticals are great, and I think Matt Rhule will be the first to tell you that he wishes that he had gone up and drafted Justin Herbert, or that he certainly wishes that Justin Herbert had fallen to them at 7. But or at 8, I don't remember. It runs all together now. But whatever
Tua,
it was,
Tua
I think
went,
it was seven,
Tua
right? That's
five.
Where they drafted Derek Brown.
Yeah, Tua went 5. Chargers went 6. But Justin Herbert, and then we went 7, I believe, with Derek Brown.
Yeah,
Derek Brown. I feel like you're being very forgiving of Matt.
Yeah, so ultimately, I'm a big believer.
I think we got some lag.
A little lag. I feel like you're being very forgiving of Matt Rhule here.
I apologize.
No, it's fine. But like what I mean is this is
I don't
is
know,
it really
man. I'm not
just
really an
a quarterback
kind of guy.
Is it just a quarterback when it comes to Matt Rhule though?
No, definitely not. I think that the stuff that happens, you know, in the locker room during the Matt Rhule era, there were signs taped that said 1-0 above every trash can all over the locker room. 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. He gets fired. They're not in the locker room anymore. They weren't there when he was there. I mean, his thing, his brand, the way of the Panther, all of that bullshit was him. And he really did think it would work. And ultimately, it just didn't work at the professional level. I think he operated this program. I think when you look at the guys that he brought in, especially players, certainly coaches, he operated in the way that he thought that it would be successful because it had been successful in the past. But ultimately, it wasn't. He thought that he could coach up guys, and the stuff that works when you are in the stuff that works when you're at college, when you have lesser talented players, but you have them for 3 or 4 years, you coach them up and you win. That's just not the way the NFL works. And, you know, when guys that you're talking to, when you're telling to buy in and to say 1-0 and to be one of you and have the Pepsi brand and all that other stuff, when they're making just as much money as you and they're not 19-year-old sophomores, it doesn't really resonate. And I think ultimately that's what we ended up seeing. And they just didn't win. Like, if they had won in year
they
two,
just
then those
win.
Then that stuff really matters.
Well,
you know
what
I'm
that's
saying?
The
like Belichick can do all the Belichick stuff, but because he has the past, he has won, so he can do the we're on to Miami, we're doing all this stuff. But I mean, Matt Rhule kind of prided himself and did a lot of stuff that he thought was Belichick-esque, but he didn't have the history or the record
success.
To back
he didn't
up.
Have the success. So, the one thing that I have to ask about all of this is the story that came out today. Some of the things that Tepper has said in his press conference, they asked him about what he kind of would do differently in the future and things, is that he said he wouldn't give, I guess, maybe all the power to the coach. There would be more balance My question about this is as we look at kind of some of this fallout that's coming out, is Fitterer the guy? Is Fitterer a real dude? Is he a guy that can be a GM, or is he a wet noodle? And you know, like just a yes man, like because right now the way it's being painted is he's a guy that could navigate between a coach who was maybe a little too full of himself and an owner who is very prideful.
Well, I don't think he's a wet noodle.
Okay.
I'll say that right now. I think that I really like the way that Fitterer handles the draft. Some of the things that he says, I really agree with, in terms of like, he has said multiple times that the more darts you have to throw, the better. And one thing that I have, like, as I dove into covering the NFL and learning more about the draft process and just the way that rosters are constructed, it's that the draft is like 40% luck. Like, yeah, you could be really good at drafting, but ultimately, like, the right guy's got to fall to you. You got to have the right position open. You got to have the balls to make the right pick, trades, all that stuff. And the hit rate on being successful in the draft is just not good. So, like, the idea of like trading back, picking up more tickets, I love that idea. But in reality, like, Scott Fitterer, you know, signed the transaction log to trade for Sam Darnold. He signed the transaction log to exercise the fifth year option to trade for Baker Mayfield. And I think, I mean, I know Rule was really pounding the table for Mayfield, needed a new quarterback and whatever. But also, and you look at some of the other quarterbacks that went in this draft that are not Matt Corral, you say maybe that's somebody that could be better than Corral, but ultimately we just don't know. We haven't seen anything from Matt Corral. Not to his fault, but I mean, just injury is what it is. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Scott Fitterer does when he has 100% control of the roster. I am hesitant to say that Scott Fitterer has 100% leeway in terms of picking the next coach. I mean, I think nobody thinks that.
It doesn't seem like he has any control. Like, that's, I mean, I won't say any control. That's the wrong way.
But it does not, I don't feel like he,
I don't feel like Tepper has learned. Maybe not learned. I think he's ready to just get back in the driver's seat again.
I have, here's the thing about Dave Tepper. He has run the organization for what he's owned it for 5 years now. He has pretty much followed the new owner playbook to a T. Every chapter, every verse, he has done it. He has gone out and done the fan service of something that doesn't really mean anything, but the fans have been clamoring for it for years. He has
put the logo on the field,
basically hollowed out the business side and filled it with all of his people. Yep, exactly. Hollowed out the business side, filled it with his people, changed the way the business is run. He has hired, fired the incumbent head coach and the incumbent quarterback at the first signs of trouble. Now, Cam Newton, there were a lot of signs of trouble, whatever, we'll deal with that, I'm sure. But Ron Rivera fired on a Tuesday in week 12. Went out in that first coaching hire process and hired the big name college coach that couldn't be brought to the pros, that nobody else wanted, gave him a huge money, gave him a huge contract, gave him the contract that nobody else would give, gave him a ton of power, and ultimately didn't work out. This has happened with every single new owner. You know what's funny is I did research on this. Every single guy that has bought an NFL team in the past 25 years has fired their head coach within two seasons. And once they fired that guy, they brought in another guy, and that new guy has never worked in any scenario. Never worked. Sometimes it's Nick Saban. Sometimes it's
whoever Jerry Jones
hired, but it was somebody in Jacksonville.
Who did Jerry Jones replace? What's his name? The dude from Miami. Everybody loves him. He's on Fox, or he used to be on Fox.
Yeah, not Jimmy Johnson, right?
He fired Jimmy Johnson. Right? I mean, he fired Jimmy Johnson, I think.
Yeah.
So, Wow, so that's interesting.
Now we have to hope that he doesn't swing back the other way, which is what has always happened, right? They've always either gone with a if they hire don't say a Dan retread Quinn. Head coach. Exactly. You have to hope that Tepper doesn't do what the new owner playbook says, which is go the other way and hire a disciplinarian former head coach. You have to hope that maybe even if he hasn't learned from his mistakes, you have to hope that he goes out and he hires somebody like DeMeco Ryans or Shane. Oh my God, I'm blanking on his last name.
What, the guy Eagles. From Eagles, dude? Yeah.
Steichen?
I don't know. Yeah, I like
Stitchin. That might not be right.
Stitchin.
You know, you that's who the Panthers need is a up and coming head coach. Or, I mean, I wish they would give Steve Wilkes a chance. I can't see a scenario where that happens, but I wish that it would happen because I think that Steve Wilkes deserves to have the opportunity to be a head coach. I think that he is a tremendous leader and has been set up to fail every time that he's been given the job, both times. So I think he should certainly be in the running, but I ultimately don't think that's going to happen. I mean, ultimately, if you're a Panthers fan and you're hoping for success, you want DeMeco Ryans and a new quarterback drafted in the top three and go, right? I mean, that's the best scenario.
Maybe. So that actually is a good segue. You know, Tony mentioned that him and I kind of see things differently. And I know you don't have much time left, but I want to kind of, for our last question, kind of transition to this week against Atlanta. I believe that P.J. Walker represents the perfect spark that the Carolina Panthers need right now. He has a propensity to push the ball downfield. He has an aggressive play style. And it's not a coincidence that we see DJ Moore finally, you know, reveal what he's capable of now that he has P.J. Walker at quarterback. The run game is now, you know, looking more ferocious now that it's Christian McCaffrey less. Josh, this division's wide open, man. It is absolutely wide open. It reminds me a little bit of 2014. You know, you're talking about Panther fans probably being, you know, wanting to hire a new head coach, draft a new quarterback. But what are the chances that this team this year still has some damage to do and we might not be as out of it as once thought, even though that sounds crazy sitting at 2-5?
I feel like I'm going to break some hearts here, but I think the Bucs lost to Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers 2 weeks ago. And yes, the Panthers did put an absolute pounding on them, and it was good to see. Good to see that they could do it. Good to see that their defense could do could produce for four quarters, and that their offense would keep them alive. But ultimately, I think that this is a team that's closer to a top 10 pick than it is the playoffs. That being said, who the hell knows? I mean, the NFL's so crazy. They, you know, they could certainly go 7-9-1 or 8-9 and squeak it out. But ultimately, I'm not sure I think that hurts them for the future more than it helps them, because ultimately, if you're 8-9, so what happens then? So then do you bring back PJ Walker? Does PJ Walker earn the starting? So you go into next year with PJ Walker and Matt Corral as starting as
that's the quarterback. What Cody wants. I'm oh my God, it makes like, me it's be I'm malpractice.
I don't know.
This would be malpractice for a brand new coach for that to be the situation.
Josh, I just think that if PJ finishes strong, you drafted Matt Corral, who had a ton of potential. You know, I think physically he's very comparable to a guy like Bryce Young. Bryce Young is playing with a lot better players around him. You know, if you're in love with a C.J. Stroud or a Will Levis, I understand that maybe Corral doesn't quite have that physical ceiling. But I don't know, man. I think that if P.J. has a strong showing and you have a rookie quarterback under contract, it's not as crazy to me. you know, considering there aren't a lot of really good free agent quarterbacks that are even going to be available this offseason.
Don't you feel like we're, I don't know, man. I'm a big believer in sample size, and I feel like we're really focusing in on the 60 minutes that we just saw rather than the rest Agreed. Of what we've seen of Agreed. P.J. Walker. Not that
Agreed.
P.J. No, I like he's P.J. a
Band-Aid,
P.J.
bro.
Walker's a great dude.
He's a Band-Aid.
And he's a good leader, but ultimately, like, I just don't – I feel like if you're selling me on P.J. Walker as the starting quarterback – that looks like
for
a team
how
that's
long?
Looking, that's looking for a top five pick, not a team that's looking for a playoff.
Right. Well, I would say this is that PJ Walker is a great dude that can go and win us a game next week, or not go, or can make, you know, he can make plays. He's an athlete. I liken him to a kid that I went to middle school with, Travis Bailey. He's the nicest kid in the world. He's just like always good on your basketball team. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's never the best. He's not the most talented mug. He just passes the ball well. He got a good pump fake, a head fake. He got a little everything. He can do a little everything well. Just to go out there. He's a gym rat kind of kid. I think PJ Walker can get it done on a Sunday, but he can't get it done over 2 years on a Sunday. You know, man, like, you just can't build that way. So I just think it would be malpractice to go into next year with a head coach and say, hey, you got PJ and Matt Corral. Good luck in your first year coming off an injury. That would be the most, this is malpractice, bro. So look, we know you got to go. We have so many. Well, first, we want to try to get you back on and get some insight in the in not too long from now. I'm trying to think if the last thing, I don't have anything. I mean, I have so many more questions.
For sure. Wait. I know I said I got to go, but I do want to rebut to that. I think that I get it. The idea that the Panthers just blew out the Bucks and Tom Brady 21-3, it feels like everything is happening, but we are 5 days removed from the Panthers 100% tanking and people thinking that they were going to go 1-16. Like literally on Saturday. And now we've gotten to Wednesday and everybody's like, you know what? They're going to go into Atlanta. And if they win, and I get it. Like, you look at the NFC South, and the NFC South is a terrible division right now. But ultimately, I think that the Panthers are not going to abandon their plan now that Matt Rhule has gone. And I don't think that their plan, I think the fact that they have not gone out and signed,
Bradley Chubb
quarter, or didn't go out and sign another quarterback or anybody, or like, I don't think they're obviously they're not going to trade for Bradley Chubb or bring in one of these guys or like Jerry Jeudy or whatever. But ultimately, this is a team that has been selling the past week. Yeah. And I would be surprised if they are not continuing to sell. I think there will be another guy traded, maybe an offensive lineman, not a starter, may get traded over the next 5 days. Because this team is trying to prepare for the future rather than try to win this year. And they're never going to say that. And they shouldn't say that because the guys in that locker room deserve to go out there and try and win. And we've said it before, you'll hear it every week. Tanking doesn't really exist in the NFL, but somebody used the phrase administrative tanking.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot more sense.
Tanking. Yeah.
Me, I'm that guy, Josh. Josh,
yeah,
I don't care where you heard it.
It's Cody. Cody's been saying this.
I've been saying this to Tony Dorn for years now.
Yeah,
tanking doesn't take place on the football field between players or coaches.
It's about contracts.
It happens at the organizational level. You're trading players away. You're offloading money on expensive
acquiring
players.
Acquiring assets.
Yeah, you're trying to build for the future. And, I'm taking credit for that, dude.
I want to get one more take off, too. The Panthers should be, they're not going to, but the Panthers should trade Derrick Brown before the trade deadline.
Derrick Brown? No.
Let me trade Brian Burns.
Listen. He's playing his absolute best right now, right? He could draw you a first round pick right now. He is going to be due for a ton of money, not this year, but the year after. That'll be year three of a rookie quarterback when you should be in your window to win the Super Bowl, to go to the playoffs. You do not need to be spending $15-20 million on a defensive tackle in that season. If you can get a first round pick right now for Derrick Brown, you should do it. They're not going to.
Do the Panthers do the Panthers pick top five next year?
Yes. Okay. Whether or not they have that, whether or not they finish with the five worst records in the NFL, they will be picking in the top five.
Okay. All right. That's Josh Klein, the Riot Report.
That makes sense. Oh, did I lose you?
Yeah.
On that one?
Yeah. No, I don't think you lost me. I think I'm coming back around. As you're saying, if they don't finish in the worst of the five, they still will. I'm assuming you mean a trade up into the top five at that point if they're not in the top five. We have a thing. Look, is we got to let you go. We can pick your brain all night. We have a we had a cool take last night on the show, which I think David Tepper hopes that somehow Steve Wilks actually wins the job. I think it would take a ton of pressure off of him because, he's going to have to go out and get the guy now. And like you said, the track record for the new owner playbook is not good on this. And the swing, it would almost be best if he won, if Wilks won the job and it took some of the pressure off of that. We also have questions about the Rooney Rule, if you can hire internally and just promote Steve Wilks because he meets the qualifications of the Rooney Rule and being on that list, number one, you know, there's some sort of list. Anyway, we got a lot to ask you in the future. Josh, tell us what's going on. The Roaring Riot, you guys are battling through a tough season for fans, and it hasn't been the first season, but this has got to be one of the toughest seasons to organize fan support, but we're with you. I just saw my friend Susan Deans, and she's a member of the Roaring Riot, and she was talking about her tickets. I was like, gotta put them on the Riot Exchange, this and that. So tell the people how they can not only find your work, but how they can support fans and the fan community in Carolina.
Yeah, man, we appreciate that. Listen, a lot of people are like, I don't want to spend another dollar with David Tepper and the Panthers. We are not related to David Tepper and the Panthers. We're our own separate entity. But ultimately, the Roaring Riot is the fan union of the Carolina Panthers. So if you're a Carolina Panthers fan and if you are watching the Carolina Cat Chronicles, I certainly believe that you are. You go to roaringriot.com. You get a cool t-shirt, sticker patch, all that cool stuff with your membership kit this year. We throw a huge tailgate a block from Bank of America Stadium. The one on Thursday night is going to be incredible. We've got these light-up glasses that are super fun. Everything's dedicated to Sam Mills this year. We go to away games. If you ever heard Keep Pounding chants on TV at an away game, that's the Roaring Riot. That's us. So we just want to bring Panther fans together and raise money for charity. That's the reality. Those are the two things that we want to do. And I just thought, do the Riot do Philly games? Yeah, we have a Philadelphia chapter. We have 40 chapters all over the world. So go to roaringriot.com, click the chapter map. You can see if there is a group watching Panthers fans or watching Panthers games at a bar near you. You do not have to walk alone. You can go and watch with other Panthers fans and get drunk with them and yell at how much.
So you don't have to kill yourself by yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. It started because Zach was watching games by himself in Philly. I used to watch games by myself in Denver. I know what it's like. So you don't have to do that. The other thing is, if you like hearing about the Panthers news and you like a little bit of snark and a little bit of sarcasm and maybe some insider stuff and maybe some silly memes, go to theriotreport.com. We're not publishing as many articles every now as we used to, but if you sign up we have a daily newsletter that goes out that I curate, Jason Huber curates, that Zach Luttrell curates, that has every single piece of Panthers news that you need every morning. It hits your inbox, and we think it's pretty cool. It's basically the Charlotte Agenda or Axios or whatever for Panthers fans. So encourage you to sign up for that. And then follow me on Twitter for @JoshKleinRules if you're looking to see people complain about getting up early.
Fantastic. Thank you again for coming on. We're going to get you back. And all right, that's it. We'll just keep pounding, brother.
For sure, man. I'll come back, and I will not have a heart out to go watch House of Dragons with my wife, and I will be able to get drunk on the show and reveal all kinds of secrets.
Yes, so. Yes, perfect, dude, perfect.
You said it's for the House of the Dragons. You're all in my boat, dude.
Rings of power, baby. Better than, greater than.
Oh, who gives a shit?
Gotta do it.
All right, man. Take it easy.
I love you, man.
Cody, I need you to take the mic for about a minute and 30 seconds as I diffuse one fire real quick, and then we finish up, because there's a couple of things I want to talk about with this article. So
yeah,
talk to the peoples, particularly. Just don't care.
Chat, who cares? Hear that? You got some alone time with your boy, baby. What up? First off, shout out to Just Don't Care for the $5. He's got behind on my donations, fellas. Keep pounding City 3. Just Don't Care. You're the man, bro. You know I appreciate it. But listen, man, you know, Josh had a very interesting take about trading Derrick Brown. And look, I just have to respectfully disagree with him. I really do believe that going forward, the reason why any head coach is going to want to be here for the Carolina Panthers is because of the defensive players have. Guys like Brian Burns, guys like Derrick Brown, guys like Jeremy Chinn and J.C. Horn. This is the crux of your defense that is going to be one of the reasons why you're a contender going forward. So, and he has 3 years left. I don't know. Just Derrick Brown seems like a bridge too far to me. And I don't know, man. I really, you know, I think at one point in time we thought that we were going to be doing the fire sale thing. But knowing how many losses the Panthers have had to suffer through these past few seasons, like, if you're not doing everything in your power to try and win football games, then you're not doing it correctly, man. There's so many quarterbacks to be had in this draft. I mean, look, even if you're picking, you know, somewhere between 7 and 13, that might still be striking distance for the Panthers to trade up and draft a guy that they like, be that someone like a Will Levis, who has a ton of physical upside, or a Hendon Hooker. I saw Pickle was in the chat. He's a Tennessee Volunteer fan. Hendon Hooker is very mobile, has an incredible deep ball. You know, you might be able to find yourself in a position to be able to move up and grab some of those dudes anyway. So why wouldn't you be trying to win football games right now? I just think that you absolutely should, man. And by the way, listen, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I am loud and proud in my belief of Matt Corral being a highly underrated talent. And listen, I know a lot of you don't have a reason to believe in him right now. You saw a very small...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sample size in the preseason of what Matt Corral was able to do. But I'm telling you, man, this guy has upside that a lot of people are overlooking. And, you know, it might not be the most likely of things, but I really just think that Matt Corral has a ton of talent that he hasn't had the ability to show yet. And inside this new and improved Panthers offense that has a run game that is able to pass protect, I just think a quarterback like Matt Corral is built to thrive. Whether or not it happens is beside the point. Right now, the only focus in the organization of the Carolina Panthers should be to beat the hell out of the Atlanta Falcons. And literally nothing else matters, man.
Cody, I want to go, since we're on the beat check, let's check some of the beat and just pop around real quick while we got some time. Let's jump over to Cat Crave. Let me see. Let's see if we can.
shit. Look at your boys.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, man, I've seen that before. I've heard that before. Nice. All right.
Josh, I did want Malik Willis because I have a firm belief that you bet on physical upside. Matt Corral also has a ton of physical upside. By the way, this year, that's probably why I'm going to be higher on a guy like Will Levis than most people. Because regardless of what he's done at Kentucky, you have to project these players into the NFL, into an NFL playbook, and how fast they're going to be able to pick up said NFL playbook, man. So,
ooh, I don't know if I would say fast, how fast, but I would say is this, is that one of the things that you have to do in the draft is think about what someone can be, not who they are only.
Yeah.
Some people have peaked. You don't want them to have peaked. There are so many of these quarterbacks that we have, I think quarterback is a easy way to look at it, is they are their best in college. And like Patrick Mahomes is better now than he was in college.
Absolutely.
Just that simple.
So is Josh Allen. So is Justin Herbert. Right.
And so are a lot of people at their own jobs. Think of it like that, is that I sucked. And first, I still probably suck. My wife probably mad at me right now, unnecessarily mad for, I will tell y'all, next week's ice up.
Well, that's watch for you.
But the point is this, is that as we, like, I mean, wouldn't it be weird for you? I think it's odd for us, and maybe this is the win now. I don't know what culture it is. I don't know why we think this, but like, you are what you are right now, and that's not really the case. It's kind of like saying Brian Burns. Like when someone said in the chat today, Brian Burns was 24, and he's got 4 years of it. I think it was Ted Tizzy said 4 years of experience, like that's a Madden wet dream. He's 24 and he's already got, he's a 4 year vet. Like that's insanity, but you can't, I know we want them to produce from day one, but you got to think of what they can be, not what they are at that moment when you're in the draft.
Yeah. But especially the quarterback position, Tony, because all these guys, you know, even Will Levis, who's in a pro style offense, they're not necessarily doing things that they're going to be asked to do at the NFL level. And just, you know, we fall into this trap of, oh, but just because a player wasn't asked to do something a lot, therefore it means that he can't. And that's a flaw that you can kind of get wrapped up in. And that's why when our coaching staff and when our staff have sit downs with these players, that's why their evaluation of them off the football field is so important, because you have to look at their work ethic. You have to look at their football IQ. You have to look at some of these intangible things and see if those are the things that's going to equate to the NFL. So, it's going to be one interesting offseason like it has been the past few years for the Carolina Panthers. Hey, why don't we click on that. Could the Panthers actually win the NFC South in 2022?
I want to shout out this. Is Cat Crave been putting in work? They've been awesome. Dean Jones saved this website. This website was dying and they saved it. And it's really good right now. Jared Feinberg, though, he's all over the Panthers for a long time now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see what it says. Is of course they can. But all right, so do the Carolina Panthers have a chance at winning the NFC South ahead of their Week 7 matchup against the Buccaneers. The Panthers looked like they were doomed, right? But Carolina's victory, first in the post-Matt Rule era and just the second since November in 20. All right, so what are they saying? Come on, let's get to it. Could they win? I think they can win. I mean, I think it's just, all right, have a long way to go.
Oh, my thing is not even necessarily what the Panthers have failed to do thus far. It's looking at the competition. The Saints do not look that much better than us, man, and we already beat them. Tampa Bay, we didn't let them score a touchdown. Atlanta, I know they always play us tough, but I'm sorry, I'm just not scared. This so much reminds me of that 2014 NFC South, where these teams kind of don't want to get out of their own ways. Like, you know, even if we lose in the coming weeks, it still doesn't mean that we're out of this.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like this is, you got to win this week. You got to win against this division opponent. If you lose this week, as Atlanta might be primed to win the division.
Oh, I don't want to hear that shit.
Nah, for real. Like, they've been playing a lot better. What's their record?
I don't care. They're choke artists. No, the Falcons. Oh, stop. That's what they do.
Okay. All right.
How many times have you ever bet on the Falcons and it went your way? They always spurn
I've never
you,
bet on the Falcons. Actually, you know what? It's every time the Falcons have caused more problems in my life.
Right. So why would you want to give them any kind of benefit of the doubt?
I'm not giving them benefit of the doubt. They're ahead of us in the division, asshole.
Oh, but by like a game.
Dude, by a game. Damn. They are first in the division.
They didn't have Matt Rule weighing them down and Baker Mayfield. So oh they had gosh, an advantage.
You're just being silly now. No, the point that I'm trying to say true, is this, is that if they win, all right, so we're sitting here going this, if we win and Bucks lose, we're in first. If they win, they're in first. It don't matter even if the Bucks lose or not.
They're not going to win.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not saying, all right.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
A lot of people, all right, so someone brought this up. I have ESPN. I'm supposed to have ESPN Plus because of my Hulu subscription. Like, I get to watch ESPN Plus, but I don't get to read these articles, though.
I didn't know that you could read articles with ESPN Plus.
Yeah, you have to. Like, is that this Scott Fowler article is a paid article.
Oh, that's why I was able to read it. Because when I had Disney Plus, I got the bundle.
Well, can you pull it up?
Yeah.
Can you can you bring us the Fowler argument? Because this is what people...
Well, it's
this
a
is
very
really,
long article, by the way.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. But the hot story right now is the Matt Rule exodus. How about that? And I want to know if anybody could tell me this. Is Scott Fowler, Jeremy Fowler, Scott Fowler's son?
or their brother.
Or whatever. The guy that is for the Observer. I think that they have to be related. I think it's his son. So inside the Carolina Panthers, three seasons of quarterback failure. What is the main point of this article? I only saw a couple of clips. So let's go through it and see what. Tell me a little synopsis of what's going
again,
on.
Again, there's a lot of it. But in summation, basically, at every step of the way, there was a better option that Panthers wanted but then failed to get. So, for example, the first one was they got rid of Cam Newton and they wanted to sign Matthew Stafford. And we all know this. And apparently at the Senior Bowl that year, a deal was very close to being made. The Detroit Lions had already sent over to Carolina all the info pertaining to Matt Stafford's back injury. But like they had done real work, so much to the fact that on the way back from the Senior Bowl, you know, before they got on the plane, they thought Matthew Stafford was theirs. And then by the time they got there, Los Angeles had swooped in and gotten Matthew Stafford. And the GM apologized and said, yeah, sorry, it just happened real fast. Almost as soon as that happened, they turned their attentions between a bunch of other quarterbacks that were on the market. Carson Wentz being one of them. There were other people, but ultimately Teddy Bridgewater ended up being that player. It was also revealed.
They're so thirsty.
Yeah, but look, this is the part that breaks my heart, because you know how much of a fan I was of Justin Herbert, but there were many people in the scouting department, and even a guy like Federer himself that wanted to move up.
Federer wasn't here.
Herney, pardon me. Herney wanted to move up.
The greatest, the GOAT of first round picks.
I know, man. Shout out to Herney.
The GOAT of first round picks. My man said that what? He said there's only a 40% hit rate on first round picks. Well, he ain't ever talked about Marty Herney before.
They wanted to move up for Justin Herbert. And if you remember,
we should have done it.
New York Giants, they were picking, I think, like third or fourth in that draft that year. And the Carolina Panthers, they were even willing to move up with the Giants in order to make that deal happen, to jump in front of the Dolphins and the Chargers. However, here comes Matt Rhule. It was his opinion that there were too many holes on the team, and get that requisite amount of draft picks in order to get Justin Herbert would prevent them from filling out the rest of the roster adequately. By the way, that's the same draft where the Panthers went all defense. Like, literally every pick in the draft was all defense. Then it's that next year where Matt Rhule was head over heels about Sam Darnold. And apparently other people in the organization had been telling Matt Rhule that it was not a good idea, because Sam Darnold had, a lot of turnover tendencies, and, there were a lot of flaws on his film from his time with the New York Jets. And yet, even still, Matt Rhule would dismiss them over and over with this insistence that Sam Darnold was supposed to be the guy, and basically just not even listening to everyone else that wanted to look at someone else other than Sam Darnold. And they even said that that represented the high point of Matt Rhule's career, because at that point, Sam Darnold went 3-0 to start the season with us last year. And it kind
and
of
he was
like,
pretty good in his rookie year as a coach. Right? His Rhule was not after year one.
There was
look,
is,
about no, him. No, it was look, as we had moved on. Yeah, unserendipitously, I guess would be the word, or as close to that as I can pronounce it, from Cam Newton, which made fans perturbed.
Including
we had
myself.
A new coach. We had a new coach who's a college coach that we had a lot of concerns with, and the team looked competitive in year one. It was year two that it looked like what. Again, I think what I expected year one to look like.
Well, like but again,
a mess.
Year two was a mess. The COVID year. Year one was the COVID year. So it's almost like we had these built-in excuses.
I think that we actually had an advantage in COVID because we had younger coaches who were more fluid with new ways of doing things.
Well, but
I think that older, think about Pete Carroll trying to get on the Zoom.
Yeah, that okay.
That's what I truly think that the COVID year it was an advantage to younger digital minds.
Looking back at that early year in hindsight, it's just like his next 2 years. So, even though we at the time wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt for being a first-year head coach during the COVID year. Like, point being, after year one, Tony, you're not saying, this dude has to go right now, unless you were like Greg or G-Baby or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I thought that we were building the right direction.
But when you look back at it now, it was always the same old thing. It was a college coach that could never truly put in the right position to succeed. And literally, as you go through this entire article, Tony, literally every time a major quarterback decision needs to be made, It was.
What's the most damning part about the article to you? How about this? Tell me what the most. Tell me the three things. If you could tell me three things about this article, okay. One is the most important. One is the most damning, and the one is the most surprising. Ooh, let's do it like that. What's the most important part that we learned about this?
To me, the most important part is that they decided to not bet big on Justin. And you look at what that guy's capable of doing. You might want to be down on him this year because the Chargers are
hurt. No, you shouldn't. He's
that guy is a franchise quarterback. And by the way, one of the things that I said on this podcast is that Justin Herbert had Luke Kuechly DNA. That's what Dave Gettleman said about Christian McCaffrey when they drafted him. And that would have been the same thing with Justin Herbert, except at the most important position in football. One of the most damning things is they said that this season, right after the Cardinals game, that you could sense there was a visible a tension amongst Panther players that they were kind of down in the dumps, kind of like upset with themselves. They felt like no one could see themselves. And yet the coaching staff was quiet. Like there was no trying to rally the troops. You know, like they didn't even say much to the team that had been continuously losing so much. And I think that was, that was very indicative that these coaches, specifically Matt Rhule, he knew that he was a dead man walking. I mean, he absolutely knew that going forward, his ass was on the chopping block. And then it really showed after the 49ers game. And, everybody had already kind of seen the writing on the wall. To me, the most surprising thing, Tony, and I guess it isn't surprising, but just for the sake of the gossip, that multiple different sources told Fowler that after Darnold started underperforming, David Tepper was furious with the fact that they picked up his fifth-year option before he had ever played a snap of NFL football, and that he was apparently persuaded at the time by Matt Rhule and I believe Fitterer and other people in the front office in order to, in order to kind of go forward with Sam Darnold. They convinced Tepper that they should pick up the fifth-year option, and he was absolutely livid about it. And I just find that to be, the most surprising and yet the most unsurprising thing at the same time. And Tony, I'll give you a bonus one. After Matt Rhule was fired, so this is probably the saddest thing to me. And then I read this super chat by Michael Davis. The saddest thing, Tony, was guess who was the player to rally the troops and try and get the morale back up after Matt Rhule had been fired? Can you guess who it was?
I mean, you want to say Shaq Thompson, but I feel like it's going to be somebody who is kind of on the outs with the...
Boy, I'd say, how about none other than Christian McCaffrey was the one who got up in front of everyone and gave it like a leader of the locker room and tried to rally the troops and try and get the morale back up. And then, dude, not even a few days later, this man is traded to the San Francisco 49ers.
Do you is it strange that Christian McCaffrey wasn't more of a feature in the Carolina Panthers media? Why has he just been absent from everything? Like, I feel like we paid him. They should have been trotting him out after these games to do some press conference. We haven't heard from him at all. So when you say that, like, I almost feel like Christian McCaffrey was either an introvert or is just trying to go bang Olivia. And I do not hear him speaking or talking at all.
Man, I kind of, the plan was from the jump, like a DEFCON 5 or whatever. If this season starts to go downhill, Christian McCaffrey is the first, if he's healthy, of course, Christian McCaffrey is the first person that you're going to be trading off of this football team. So why put him in all of the promos and all of that kind of stuff if you know that there's a very very real possibility that you might be trading him away at some point later in the year? I think that definitely plays into the discussion. Hey, real quick, we have to give love to our man Michael Davis. This
patron saint.
This is the $35 love bomb. He says, I'm going bird hunting in Atlanta Sunday. Might even bring some batter and hot oil with me. Who's down?
Ooh.
Keep it up, fellas. Get those likes up and crush that algorithm. You heard the man. Hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit that notification bell for every single time the C3 Panthers podcast goes live and brings you the Panther information and discussion that you so love.
Fried Falcon on the menu. Ooh. Fried Falcon sounds delicious. I will say, all right, so I've looked around a couple of things. I looked at the, let's see what Panther
car. This is another sad one that was in the article. At one point in time, Fitterer liked the idea of Trubisky to compete with Darnold for the starting job.
Do you want now? You want to keep that? Man, we should get rid of Fitterer right away then. You know what is the news that is coming out on this story? First, I'm a little, man, I don't want to say it to the people like, look, we're going to have Joe Person on hopefully in a couple of weeks. I'm already working on getting him scheduled. He can't come next week, but we're going to get Joe Person in the future. Hopefully the following Wednesday for the beat check. I don't want them to hear this. Even our guest tonight and our guest in the past is like, why is it now that where you asked this question tonight, you snuck that question in, which is, did we have murmurs of this dysfunction? Were there murmurs of this dysfunction all along? And I would say this is that if this is now they're going to take the Scott Fowler or Jeremy Fowler, like if they're all going to bag on these bitches and dump on them now, why were they not a little bit more on that party when it was happening? You know,
Tony. And you know what the funny thing about it is? That's why whenever you find legitimate information that runs contrary to, you know, what the mainstream, you know, Panther media might be telling you, it's oftentimes that those can be the most correct. Because, for example, if you're a player that has discontent with your coaches, well, you're not going to go and run and tell someone that's going to tell, you know, Joe Person or David Newton or Shannon Quick. You're just not going to do that if you don't want certain information out. Whereas if you say it to someone and then it gets to a verified source like myself, you can take it or leave it and, you know, say, oh, Cody is just making shit up just to get Twitter clicks or whatever. Whereas there's probably a lot of truth when it is someone that doesn't have an official check mark next to their name. But I agree with you, Tony. It's like everyone has a lot to say about the dissension in the ranks now that Matt Rule is already
Where was
fired.
It then?
But yeah, you're telling me you didn't hear nothing before.
Right. It's like, and for me, it's not even dissension in the ranks. It's like, I can understand like afterwards, like, oh, I didn't like that pick. Oh, I wanted a different decision. For me, the real one is this is, Joe Person is going on the radio, and he's going to be the most one of the more conservative reporters on this. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to just come out and lob stuff because he's got to go back in there next week. He's very close to the team. But he's sitting there going, this is that Rule had control of the roster. Rule was like kind of, or at least to me, he's implying that these personnel decisions were very heavily ruled by Matt Rule. And I don't feel like the reporting, maybe they left it open to us. I feel like this is right now, Scott Fitterer seems like a wet noodle to me. And I don't want to believe that. I don't want to believe that. But between this story, the kind of shade that people are throwing afterwards about this, someone described him as a nice guy who could appease Tepper and Rule. And I don't know if that's a great thing.
You know what our general manager needs to be able to do? He needs to be able to tell people no. Including his boss, David Tepper.
Yes.
Look, I'm telling you, that's why I think I'd be a good GM. Even if David hired me, I would have no problem telling that man.
And you're like, what are they going to do? I'm in a wheelchair, bitch. What are you going to like? Are you really going to come at me?
It's like, dude, I have the boss to tell people, hey, look, if you want to do that, it's whatever. But there is no way that I'm signing off on that dumbass decision.
That's why he dies on this hill. Yeah, or he says he don't like that. Cody's always like, I live on this hill.
Because I'm undefeated, man. I've never died. Who's ever killed me?
Oh, my gosh. You cannot keep saying that.
Dude, I'm literally undefeated, and I've never one time in my life, dude, check the record. But my point being is that, you know, if David Tepper is going to be this guy that throws his weight around and throws his billions and his power and influence, nervous. Like, you have to be able to know what you're doing from an organizational standpoint. And I agree with you, Tony. Based on the track record thus far, I don't know that Federer is that type of dude that if he genuinely believes something. So, for example, if I'm general manager of the Carolina Panthers, I say to David Tepper and the coach and everyone on that staff, there is no move at all that I endorse higher than going up and securing our franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. And any other decision contrary.
Well, he wasn't there then. Wrong. He wasn't there then. He wasn't there then.
I'm saying if I'm the general manager.
So actually the question would have been last year, or he was the Fields draft. He's the Mac Jones Fields.
Yeah.
Who else?
People are still arguing about that. J.C. Horn or Justin Fields.
Well, I will tell you this, is that I believe more in Justin Fields than I do in Mac Jones. And I did then, and I still do to this day.
Yeah, same.
You know, I mean, I just legitimately then, I was all on the Justin Fields train, bro.
Yeah, and by the way, shout out to Michael Johnson. He says, you know, Tepper is pink as hell while reading these articles. And that's another thing. Tony, that's another thing they revealed, that David Tepper, and we saw this in the press conference, after he fired Matt Rhule, David Tepper, not only does he check social media, but he listens to what the Panther media is saying and writing about him. And he's a frequent checker and observer of all these different things. Of course he is.
They all are.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. So, oh, by the way, Tim Estes, I never said Kim couldn't play left tackle. I said for the purpose of our run game, you're putting Kim Aquandu at left guard. And I still don't think it would be a bad idea.
What do you think about
awesome left tackle?
What do you think about the first Sticky Icky put it in the air? Ooh wee. What do you think about this shade that people are throwing on your boy Brady Christensen at guard?
This is literally the first year in his life that he's ever played left guard at an NFL level. And his numbers are high in pass protection. I think run blocking is something that he's going to have to get the hang of over time. But I'm not worried about it, man. And I'm certainly not giving a damn about PFF, man. PFF,
why? You don't want to start Michael Jordan?
Oh, dude.
You don't want to start Cade Mays or whatever, like this dude, I don't even know his name. They're like, oh, if we had Cade Mays, we'd be fucking number one in the league. I was like, whatever, shut the fuck up. Sorry.
It's embarrassing. If I never heard the name Michael Jordan in relation to a football player again for the rest of my life.
If I never heard the name Michael Jordan, I would never know anything about basketball, bitch.
Yeah, man. It's like, dude, I'm so done with it. This time. And by the way, we rushed for 173 yards.
I know. I know. How bad? How terrible was it?
Liability, man.
I know. Man,
it's dumb, dude.
What I do actually, it's not dumb. It's like a reasonable position to like have questions, concerns, and this and that. But what I is dumb is for 85% of your life to say that PFF sucks. And then the one time PFF verifies your position, you're like, oh, Bravo. Look at these grades. Because I'm pretty sure, and you guys, the people that are listening right now, don't really know what the hell we're talking about. I mean, they do. They know who we're talking about, but they don't know. It's a little
bit of inside Panther baseball, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the point is this, is these motherfuckers are always like, oh, don't ever trust PFF. That's why I don't ever give a fuck about PFF. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And then when
PFF supports them, they're like, oh, well, look at this fucking grade right here. And
don't forget the fact that they know, you know, other NFL offensive linemen, and literally everything that they say is backed up by their former NFL player friends. Like, dude, it's such an easy kind of out to say, oh, my NFL friends say, but like, whatever, man, you need to trust.
I don't even got to go that far. I just got to go this far is that the mugs are like, oh, well, now PFF supports me. That's my whole thing is this. Yeah, is you can't shit on something all day long and then you can. And that's what people do.
Oh yeah, Tony, right. I wanted to ask you this before we jumped out of here. Pat Elflin has to have season ending surgery. I think it was his foot. I'm Panther Pickles in here. I'm sure he can correct me if I'm wrong. But season ending surgery. And Bradley Bozeman is going to be the center for,
good,
you know, for the rest of the year. And I hate it for Pat, man. I know I was never a fan of his per se.
Yeah, but played better at center than at guard. Yeah,
played better than most people expected him to. And
At center than he was at guard.
Right. So, you know, I hate it for him for that reason. But at the same time, how could you not feel happy for Bradley Bozeman?
And now I have I'm actually worried. I'm sad.
Why?
Because first of all, he should have been arguably playing from the beginning. Right?
Oh, for sure.
So we missed 5 games with him starting technically. You can say one was because of injury. But what I'm sad about is I think he's only on a 1-year deal. So yeah,
that's true.
I want to get hype and like this guy a lot. But I almost want them to bring, wouldn't it be better if F-Line could come back and play a little bit and push down Bozeman's monetary value a little bit so we can sign him. I mean, I hate to root against the guy's money. But like, this is the thing is like, I think through next year.
So then
we have to resign. We have to pay. We have to pay Bozeman.
Yeah,
and we don't have to pay him a ton. But we're gonna have to give him money. And that's the only thing.
He seems to really love the Panther community, and him and his wife are very active amongst the Panther fan base, taking pictures.
They're incredible.
They're awesome.
They're like really like, dude, they lived in an RV for an entire year.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
They're good people. I remember.
You haven't heard about this, Kurt?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I remember something about it.
Like they lived in a literal, which first of all is my dream. My kids hate me for this is when the fateful day that probably will sadly occur one day where my wife leaves me. But what I'm saying is this is like, man. No, I mean, not, well, maybe it'll be, but no. what I would just say is this, is that if you can work virtually, if you had a job where you can work virtually and you could get that dope ass 5G hotspot internet, I would just buy a fucking RV. And travel.
Have you ever seen those shows that show like
I would love that shit. I would just
you know the dope ass mobile homes, like the $100,000 something dollar mobile homes with all the luxury amenities,
yeah,
like that,
dude, that
would be fun as
hell. Dude, you just go on the road. You don't got to go over. Yeah, but like you could pull your car behind you, pull a little Prius behind you. And man, you would. There are these old people that live down the street from me. They're older. I don't know them that well. Man, there's like five or six blocks down the road. But there used to be a trailer home there, and they got it removed, and they put this balling ass RV there. They built a little deck. They got a deck. They got a storage shed. They got their Jeeps. They got trucks in the back. The hurricane came a month ago, and these bitches just took their RV and bounced.
Deuces.
I mean, they were just like, we're going to the mountains. Like, I mean, what a
great. Yeah, that's baller as hell.
I think this, if I was a single man right now and I had enough, a little bit of loot, I think that's what I would do. I would just buy a fucking $120,000 RV.
Pimping all over the country. Got a new one every night in every city that you go to.
I don't even care. It's not even about a new one. Yeah, but yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, man. But kind of off the topic of Bozeman, but dude, how about this? I was just saying.
But no, he lived in the RV for a whole year. Him and his wife. He's not a small person.
No, he's a big dude. I think Tim Tizzy was in the chat room earlier saying, He's like a good old farm boy, just a happy old good old farm boy with farmer strength, throwing barrels of hay into a tractor. Like he brings, it gives off that kind
of
vibe.
That's what you need.
He's a lovable dude, by the way, man. You know, we haven't had like a dude at center that everybody was able to get behind like that since Khalil. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm happy for Bozeman, and I definitely think that next year, especially if our offensive line continues to do well, Bradley Bozeman has to be a priority. Has to.
All right. I think we've covered about most of the topics we can cover tonight. But we will be back Friday night with the Friday free-for-all. And Sunday, we'll have the post-game show. What else should we be thinking about right now, Cody? Oh no! Tell me, get us out of here.
A
I don't
w,
know.
Man.
Help me out.
A W, man. A W. How about this? Believe in your team, man. Let your heart lead you for once. Let your mind and all the rationale put that bullshit away. We're about to smack the hell out of the Atlanta Dirty Turds, and dude, we're gonna show him. We're showing you something. We're gonna show them what time it is in the NFC South, man. The Panthers have what they need to be successful. So you know what? I'm believing in my team, Tony. I haven't done so in a long time, but damn it, I'm doing it now, baby.
That's good news, people.
That's good news, people. This is the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Tuesday nights, we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions, 9 p.m. live. We've been doing it for over 10 years now. Wednesday night, we hit you with the beat check. Friday night, we hit you with the Friday free for all. Where any fan, if you want to be you don't want to just listen, you want to control the conversation, Friday is the show. Look, you can call in on Tuesdays. We want fan interaction. We want to highlight you. But on Friday, you're the host. You're the host on That's Friday. Right. Well, at least. And Cody always is the producer. On Sunday, man. We got the post game. Oh, did I skip a day? Oh, I did. Saturday simulations. Bro, Prophetic. The C3, bro, we Prophetic, have been killing man. It, dude. We've been killing it. Y'all have been great hanging out with us. But look, we need your help. We need y'all's help. I cannot tell you this enough, is that success breeds the desire for more. I want more subscribers. I want more views. just because I want to grow this family. We're so close. Let's get to 5,000 subscribers. Let's get to 100.
5,000. I know. We asked for your help to help us get to 4,000. And dude, we're so close to 5, man.
Let's get to 5,300 and give away a Brian Burns jersey. 5,300 subscribers. Let's get there. And we're giving away a Brian Burns jersey. 53, right? That's the number? Am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong?
It's his number. That
5,300 subscribers. I'm buying this Brian Burns jersey. We're going to keep him here. We're going to keep you here. Cody, as always, it's been wonderful hanging out with you. I will continue to talk football till midnight if you wanted to, but I feel like we should go.
Probably so. Sadly. Listen, man, until next time, C3 Panther Nation, you already know what to do. Just keep pounding.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.